You've kindly welcomed me by saying you're very fortunate to have me in your midst. Actually, it's true, you are very, very fortunate because I am present here. And a Vaishnava should be humble. So why am I saying that? Well, first thing, I can't say I'm truly a Vaishnava, but I can say that I'm trying, and I'm fortunate to have come in the shelter of the lotus feet of a true Vaishnava, namely Srila Prabhupada. And he has ordered all his disciples to share the good fortune that we have received from him, the unlimited good fortune to share that with others. So if I sincerely try to represent Srila Prabhupada by speaking what he spoke, then all your good fortune will be, you'll receive that. Just like Krishna spoke to Arjuna, and Srila Prabhupada spoke to us. Srila Prabhupada is not on the level of Krishna. In one sense, yes, but Srila Prabhupada is a jiva, a highly empowered jiva, no doubt. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because Srila Prabhupada received this message in disciplic succession, because he repeats the same message, and of course also because of his personal purity, then we get the same benefit as if we were present directly hearing from Krishna. So similarly, I'm not anywhere near the level of Srila Prabhupada, but if I repeat the same message and maintain purity and devotional practice, then you can get the same benefit. So you're very fortunate to have me in your midst, because I am very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada made me fortunate. Good fortune. That is what is given to us. Krishna comes to make us fortunate. And then generation after generation, good fortune is expanded. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Out of the many living beings who are wandering in this universe, birth after birth, some among them who are very fortunate will get the seed of devotion, of the creeper of devotion, planted in their heart by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So it's our very good fortune that we have the opportunity to take to this path of devotional service. But we have to make our effort also. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had spoken this Brahmanda Brahmite verse to Rupa Goswami, he continued, Mali hoya shei bij kore araopan shravan kirtan jale kore shei chan. So having got the seed, we don't just look at it and wait for it to grow. We have to do some work. We have to become a gardener, figuratively, plant that seed in a favorable atmosphere and water it with the water of hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is, of course, all metaphorical, but you get the point. We have to do our work also. And we're very fortunate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us fortunate. This Kali Yuga is very unfortunate, because in Kali Yuga, everything is bad. Life is just one big struggle, that's all. No one's happy. Even those who think they're happy have to... mostly they think they're happy because they're engaging in sense gratification by which they have to suffer severely in the next life. Nunang pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritiya aprinoti na sadhu manya yata avano yamma sanna piklesada asadeha. Rishabdev, the Supreme Lord, says that persons are definitely insane if they perform sinful activities which force them to get another body to suffer again and again. In other words, human life should be utilized for self-realization. But in Kali Yuga, people don't know this, or if they think they know it, they have all strange ideas of what is self-realization. Strange ideas about religion. For instance, geographically not very far from here, there is a sect of people who call themselves Islamic, and their version of religion is just to butcher people who don't agree with their fanatical interpretation of religion, which has put this whole area into anxiety. Otherwise, people were living more or less peacefully. It's still here, but that's just typical of Kali Yuga. As stated in Bhagavatam, one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is avyartha hingsa, meaningless violence, for no reason. That people are violent. Why? Sometimes violence is required, as Krishna told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. But just for no reason, simply out of malice, a bad feeling toward others, to kill, torture, give pain to others, this is a symptom of Kali Yuga. And there are so many symptoms of Kali Yuga. It's a very bad age. Kale dosha nidhe rajan, Shukadev said to Parikshit Maharaj, this Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. It's just like a fish in the water. If it swims up, it finds water. If it swims down, it finds water. If it goes left, it finds water. If it goes right, it finds water. Forward, back, and if it stays in the same place, there's water everywhere. So in the same way, wherever we look in Kali Yuga, we find there's lying, cheating, and hypocrisy, stealing, killing. Every field of life is polluted. In family life, people are not happy. Most people, just to maintain their bodies, have to work very hard in some job that they don't like. Other people are simply living at the expense of others without contributing anything. Welfare, in Western countries, they have the welfare state. And mostly people who get this free money for doing nothing, they're already in the mode of ignorance, because in the mode of passion, in tamagun, one's simply lazy. In rajagun, at least one works. So the people who are working, they're working and producing the taxes which the people in tamagun, but then because they're in lower consciousness, they mostly use it for intoxication, what money they get. So in education, in family life, in working life, in the mass media, which could be used, the internet, TV, newspapers, they could be used for religious purposes, for uplifting mankind. And there are some people who use it like that, but mostly it's used for very bad purposes. So everywhere we look, it's bad. But still, there is one very great good fortune in Kali Yuga. Kale dosha nidhe rajan. This Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. But ekohyasti mahan guna. There is one very great quality, and that is kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha parang vrajet. By chanting the holy names of Krishna, One can be freed from this horrible situation. Actually, it's not only Kali Yuga that's horrible. The whole material situation is horrible. But in Kali Yuga, it's intensely experienced as horrible. But one can get free from all of this simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna and go to the supreme abode. Therefore, Kale sabhajantyarya gunagya sarabhagina yatra sankirtana naiva sarva svato bhilabhyate. Therefore, people who are actually expert in analyzing the situation, they praise Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is very good. Because in Kali Yuga, simply by Sankirtan, chanting the names of Krishna, without any other qualification, one can achieve all the goals of life. Without any other qualification means one should also not have major disqualifications. It's not that one can chant Hare Krishna and go around butchering people. Of course, usually people who chant Hare Krishna don't have such a mentality anyway. But if one is very sincere and honest and straightforward, then chanting Hare Krishna will quickly bring one to the ultimate goal of life, which is pure love of Krishna. And that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give by chanting the names of Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami prayed to him, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tushay Namaha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami first met him in Prayagraj, now known as Allahabad. So Rupa Goswami prayed to, but first met him means after Rupa Goswami had left his family life. So Rupa Goswami prayed to him that you are the most magnanimous. All the Krishna himself and all the avatars of Krishna, they all come to increase the good fortune of the fallen jivas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful avatar. He's Krishna, but he's golden Krishna. Golden form. And he gives Krishna prema. Very liberally distributes Krishna prema by the simple process of chanting and dancing. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's concept of religion. There are various concepts of religion. There are various interfaith groups which try to harmonize or see the unity in different religions. But actually there are significant differences also. And even among the followers of Sanatan Dharma or the Vedic process, there are many people who are surprised to see this exuberant chanting and dancing. They think it's not very religious. Or them, even many Vaishnavas, especially in South India, they think that this loud singing and banging on drums and chanting and dancing wildly, that is something not really proper, because religion should be very grave. In the presence of God, who is so powerful, almighty. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's concept of religion is simply blissful. Parama Karuna Pahundui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Sabha Avata Sara Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, who are Krishna and Balaram, come again in Kali Yuga, they are the most merciful avatars. Their process, because their process is simply blissful, nothing difficult to do, just chant Hare Krishna. And their process is, they're most merciful. That is giving the chanting of the holy names. Nothing difficult to do means we don't have to travel to many holy places or memorize the Vedas or perform difficult austerities. There's one thing which most people find difficult, which is Bishoy Charya, to give up sense gratification. That is required. Bishoy Charya She Roshe Moji Amukhe Bolo Hari Hari. To fully taste the Harinama Rasa, the bliss, the chanting of the holy names, then we have to give up sense gratification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he wasn't engaged in sense gratification. There was no question of that for him. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met his guru, which might sound strange, he's the Supreme Lord, how does he have a guru? Well, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. To teach us, he also accepts a guru. To teach us that we need to accept a guru. Ramchandra Bhagavan, he is the Supreme Lord, but he accepts a guru. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru gave him the order to chant Hare Krishna and dance. Nacho gao bhakta shange kara shankirtan harinama upadeshi tara sarvajan. He told him to sing, dance, perform the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna, and he said that teach others to chant the holy names, and in this way deliver everybody. And his guru Ishvara Puri taught him the essence of all religion. Evangrata Sapriyanama Kirtyaja Anuraga Jutta Chai Hasatyati Rodati Roti Gayati Unmadava Nrityati Lokabhaya. Evangrata Sapriyanama Kirtyaja Anuraga Chitta Jutta Uchai. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which Ishvara Puri taught Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of the Vedas. Sarvaveda itihasanam saram saram udaharitam. So this verse describes that one who is taken a vow to satisfy the Supreme Lord, who is very dear to him. He glorifies the Supreme Lord by singing, dancing, and then automatically he cries, falls on the ground, laughs. All these ecstatic symptoms are present in him. And he doesn't even care about outside persons. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's concept of religion, simply bliss. Chanting, dancing, singing. It may be, for many people, they may think, well, this isn't religion. It's an unusual concept for many people. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this. Krishna Prem, our prayojan, our topmost requirement is Krishna Prem. Nothing else. What we really need is Krishna Prem, love of Krishna. Now, of course, Ishvara Puri taught Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the highest level, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's only making a show of being a disciple. He is at the highest level. But it's not that everyone can immediately come to that highest level. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is singing and dancing and chanting and weeping in ecstasy, falling on the ground, laughing in bliss. This stage is not to be imitated, but it is to be aspired for. But this is actually what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Boroja Jubatya Bhavera Bhakati. He came to bestow the feelings of the gopis in Vrindavan transcendental loving feelings of the gopis for Krishna. So this is the ultimate aim of the devotees. Krishna prema, the highest level of love of God, is very exalted aim, and it is achieved by the very easy and blissful process of chanting the holy names of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this pure love of God. For most people, because they can't immediately come to that very high level, he's given a process of spiritual discipline. Atantar durlabha prema koribare dan shikhai sharanagati bhakatera pran. Just so as to give that very rare, pure love of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught the process of sharanagati, or how to take shelter of Krishna. So that process is by following the rules and regulations of devotional service. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, even many people who want to follow the rules and regulations of devotional service very strictly, they find that circumstantially they are at a disadvantage. Just like most of the devotees present here, they have to work in camps where they cannot choose their food. They have to work long hours, very difficult work. That is good in the sense that it may give some inspiration for people to search out something higher when they have such a difficult life. Of course, it's not that everyone in the camps is taking to Krishna consciousness. So those who are fortunate and very pious, yeshang tvandagatang papang jananang punya karmanam tidvandva mohanir mukta bhajante imam trijavrataha. Krishna says that persons who in previous lives and in this life have performed pious activities and who are free from sinful activities and who are free from misconceptions, duality, thinking in terms of this is good for me, this is not good for me, trying to enjoy this material world, such persons can take to devotional service with determination. So even though it may be very difficult, see, even the best arrangement we make for having a talk on Krishna consciousness, but there's some disturbance from children playing, so we have to tolerate. In the same way, in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to get ideal circumstances for practicing Krishna consciousness. So we have to do our best and pray to Krishna to help us. Most people can't perform sadhana bhakti in even a minimal desired way because they have to go to work, long hours, this, that. But if we are very sincere and keep up this chanting is central, then Krishna will appreciate our sincerity and help us despite all disadvantages. At the same time, if we can come to a more favorable situation, that we may do. Srila Prabhupada wanted to make rural devotional communities so that devotees could live together and chant Hare Krishna. There's very little question of such a rural community at the present time in this country, because anyway, apart from anything else, apart from other major obstacles to that, There's no natural farming land in this country anyway. The earth produces oil and not vegetables. But India, Nepal, Bangladesh, I think everyone here except myself is from one of these three countries. Maybe there's someone from Sri Lanka also. And also the country in which I was born in this life, England. They all these countries, they have land, climate, water, which are all quite suitable for agriculture, living simply. So one of the purposes of this Krishna conscious movement is to show people how they can live simply, very pure and natural lives, and chant Hare Krishna. The main thing is chanting Hare Krishna. You can chant Hare Krishna in a Kuwait labor camp, which is a very different situation from being in a rural devotional community in India or anywhere else. But if one is sincere, even in unfavorable circumstances, then certainly Krishna will accept that chanting.
And probably they would have realized it, but probably we have not realized that. But we speak, just repeat the words from there. That's okay.
Speaking beyond our realization. We're enjoined not to speak beyond our realization. But sometimes we find that senior devotees speak on a higher level, which they may have realized, but which we haven't. We should not speak beyond our realization, but at the same time we should give to others knowledge of where we should be aiming for, which is beyond, probably beyond the realization of most speakers. We should inform others what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Ultimately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the topmost, purest, highest love of Krishna, following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. So, yeah, well, in one sense, we always have to speak beyond our realization. Because if we don't, how will we ever advance? One may not be fully sense-controlled, but he has to inform others. Now you have to make the effort to control your senses. If he doesn't tell them, how will they know? And if he doesn't talk about it, how will he remember himself? So, actually preaching means we may have to speak beyond our realization, but we should be careful not to dwell on topics which are not only beyond our level of realization, but which we really have very little realization of exactly. That means just following Srila, the example of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all of whom preached extensively, but they didn't speak at length on the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And even when they did describe such pastimes, they did so in a guarded manner, not getting into all the esoteric details. They showed the way. This is where we're supposed to be going. So that is required, but most of the time we need to speak more, what we can say, basic topics. But it's also required to sometimes speak, showing where we're supposed to be going. Classic example is that Srila Prabhupada gave Krishna book before he had completed most of the Bhagavatam. He gave a summary of the 10th canto, saying that he doesn't know, he may not otherwise get it done, the 10th canto. So he gave a summary, including the Rasa Leela pastimes, but he gave philosophic comments in there also, just to help us from getting misled by improper understanding of these topics. So we should read Krishna book and also Bhagavad Gita. They're not different, Bhagavad Gita and Krishna book. They're not different in purpose, but one is describing Krishna's pastimes and the other is Krishna's basic instructions. So generally following Srila Prabhupada's example, we should speak from Bhagavad Gita, topics of Bhagavad Gita, and philosophic teachings from Srimad Bhagavatam. We also may tell the stories of Bhagavatam which demonstrate the topics, these topics. Yeah. Following Srila Prabhupada's example, mostly we should speak philosophically, which is also beyond our realization. Ultimately, Krishna is beyond everyone's realization. But saying that we shouldn't speak beyond our realization is that we shouldn't pose ourselves to be greater or on a higher level than we actually are. Then?
Then we'll finish.